powerful word. If you'd write out the word obedience right in the middle, what do you see in that word obedience? But right in the middle of the word obedience is die. So why don't you write this down? To obey, we must die to self. So obedience involves death to self. How many want to do what God wants you to do and be all that God wants you to be? Well, in order to do that, you've got to obey the Holy Spirit. You're not going to be really able to obey the Holy Spirit when God leads you to do something. You know what? Most of the time, your flesh doesn't want to have anything to do with it. How many of you wanted to give up your old friends when you first got saved? Nah, not really. How many of you wanted to, nobody wanted to give up their old friends? Nobody, everybody was just looking for the opportunity to tithe, huh? When you found out about tithing, I mean, you just couldn't wait to start, could you? No, the flesh doesn't want to do that stuff. The flesh wants to fight those things. So usually when God leads you to do something, there will always be a struggle between the flesh and the spirit. And your flesh, in order for you to obey God and the things that God wants you to do and become the person that God wants you to become, guess what? You're going to have to obey God, and you're not going to be able to obey God completely and totally and wholly until you want die to yourself. Well, if God's got a future for you and a hope for your future, and God's got something for you and God's got something for me, do you know the only way we're going to get that is to hear the word and obey the word? What does that mean? That means, how many believe that God's got a hope for your future? The Bible says, I got a hope for your future. Amen. A good plan for you. You know God's got a plan for you. God wants things to get better for you. God wants things to get better for me. Well, do you know what? The way that it gets better is by us obeying the Holy Spirit and by us obeying the Word of God and by us obeying the Holy Ghost. And on the path to your blessing, guess what you're going to come? You're going to have to die to some things. You're going to have to die to some things. And when God starts putting things before your face and revealing things in your life and showing you things that you're going to have to die to, realize that God is trying to bless you. The Bible says unless a seed dies, it can't what? It will never be able to grow. After the seed died, a flower grows. Don't run when God is near. Listen to the wind and you will hear. After the storm comes, the rainbow appeared. Well, you can't be afraid. If God is confronting you with some stuff, and if God's showing you some things, and he's starting to rearrange your life and rearrange the furniture in your life, guess what? That death represents something that God wants to do for you in a good way in your future. Now, look, write this down also. We talked about the call. Remember we talked about the anointing of the Holy Ghost? That when we received Jesus, that God put his yoke upon our lives, and the yoke was the burden of Jesus. Well, we are called to be fellow heirs with Jesus Christ and to be his yoke partner. That's my calling. Well, how do you manifest your calling? Your calling, right? Burden? Do you know, I just got this open, and the word burden came up. In the notes that I saw, the first page, I popped open, and the word burden was there. And if you were going to write it out like 2 plus 2 equals 4, burden plus vision equals what? Your call. Your burden plus your vision equals call. You're not going to be able to receive your call until you are able to discern. Till you're able to discern your burden. You've got to have the yoke of Jesus, the passion of Jesus that we were talking about. They were filled with the Holy Ghost, so they began to do the things that the Spirit of God said they would do. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. I'm anointed to do something. There's a burden within me. And many people, I want you to know that you're called. You're called to do great and mighty things. You're called to prosper. You're called to win. You're called to make a difference in the earth. And you can. But you're not going to be able to discern your call completely until you find out what moves you. What is your burden? What is your passion? Do you have a passion, or you just go day by day? Is there a passion in your life? Well, when you discern what your passion is, and then you get some vision, some supernatural Holy Ghost vision, you can have a burden. But if you don't know what to do with your burden, guess what? You're not going to go too far. But I tell you what, when you get burdened, yeah, she's excited. She's got a burden for Mexico and for people that don't have things. This one over here's got a burden for orphan children. Moves your heart. Well, see, you got to understand that God will put something spiritually within you, something that moves your heart. I've got a burden for the body of Christ. I want to see it be all that God said it should be. I got a burden for you, a burden to see you grow up and be equipped to be effective servants, because I know that one day Jesus is coming and everybody's going to have to stand before Jesus and give an answer for their life. What did you live for? Did you just suck up air? No. You didn't just suck up air, which you did. You did something about it. You can't, week after week, we always want to put something on your heart and say, live this week. And what I mean live, don't just exist through the week, but accomplish something. Experience Jesus. Just don't get in fellowship with Jesus, but get in fellowship with Jesus and pick up a burden and do something with it. Each week, accomplish something. Don't wait till tomorrow. I mean, you could have gotten somebody saved between Sunday and today. What are you waiting for? Don't wait. Do something about it right now. I'm so excited. Tomorrow, you get to go out and do that, don't you? Tomorrow you get to go out and do that. You can't wait. You couldn't wait till Christmas to take your stuff down there. You had to add another trip in there. Busy about the Lord's business. But the burden, you get that burden. You get that supernatural Holy Ghost burden down on the inside of you. Then God starts to give you vision. God starts to show you things that you never... We got vision. For without a vision, the people perish. Your dreams will perish. You'll just drift away. You got to have a burden, but you got to also see that your burden one day is going to become something. We got to have, there's a burden for church, but we got to have a vision for church. We got to have what God says about church. Do you have a vision? And those two things put together equal your call. Revival. Okay, listen. Repentance for revival. Or repent for revival. People don't like to hear the word repent. Turn to Proverbs chapter 1, verse 23. We're just laying a foundation. It's nice to see people fall out on the floor and roll around, but God didn't just give you the Holy Ghost to fall out on the floor and roll around. He gave it to you so you can fall out on the floor, roll around, get up, and go do something with it. If you've been rolling on the floor and not doing anything, it's not the Holy Ghost. For when the power of the Holy Ghost fell in the second chapter of Acts, they were all filled with joy. They were all filled with power, but they got up and they reached the world. 3,000 were added to the church. Now we can say the Spirit of God is a nation's church, but ain't nobody getting saved. It's not the Spirit of God. Do something with it. With the Holy Spirit becomes also goes with the passion of Jesus Christ. It says in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 23, repent at the reproof of God, and the revelation of His word will bring revival. Well, that's not what it says, but I'm just going to read that statement to you. Repent at the reproof of God, and the revelation of His word will bring revival. Did you write that down? That could be a word from heaven for you. It said, repent at the reproof of God. You, let me tell you what, you don't have the Holy Ghost if you don't get a little bit of reproof every now and then. It said He'll correct you and He'll change you. Amen. I want you to know you don't got it all together. I don't care. I mean, people think I got it all together and ain't nothing wrong with me. I'm going to tell you what, we've all got some stuff. And the closer we get to God, the brighter the light will shine and the more of us will come off. I mean, we might not be what we were a couple months ago or a couple years ago. We might not be that big sinner that we used to be, but you know what? We're not all that we're going to be. We're not all that we're going to be. We're not all that God wants to make us. You haven't arrived yet. God's got a whole lot of work to do. He got a whole lot of work for us to do. And how do you can tell when somebody's backslidden? When they think they've gotten there. Who's the biggest backslider? The person that thinks they already arrived and they got nothing to work on. You're just waiting for Jesus to come to keep you just the way you are. No, we're always changing into the image of God. Bible says we're changed from glory to glory. Well, if you come up to the presence of God and it doesn't change you, you know what that is? That's pride. You've got to allow God to change you step by step and moment by moment. Don't you even, I don't care if you've been saved for 15 years, don't you dare think that you've gotten to the point that God is through with you. You should get to a place where you know by this time next year, you are not going to be the same. I'm not going to be the same. I don't know what needs to change, but I know he's going to reveal it. As long as he's changing, he's there. How many are glad that God's not through with me? God's not through with you. Anybody ever heard that song, "Please Be Patient With Me"? God's not through with me yet. Please be patient with me. God's not through with me yet. When God gets through with me, I shall come forth as pure gold. That's what God wants to work in us. That's what the Holy Ghost wants to do in us. You need to tell some people, don't give up yet. God's still working on you. Don't come out of the Word yet. You're not done. Nothing bad, nothing worse than raw cake. I mean, nothing worse than raw. Anybody ever had raw cake, half-baked cake? Nothing worse than Christians that way. Half-baked anything is dangerous. You got to cook it all the way. There's a lot of half-baked Christians out here today that think they got it all together. They've already arrived. Let me tell you what. You're going to get spiritual salmonella hanging with them kind of people. Get back into the oven. Don't you deal with anybody that's outside of the oven. Make sure they're under the heat of the Holy Ghost. God's not done yet. The oven's still burning. Get in the fire and stay in the fire. Don't talk to anybody that's outside of the fire. I don't care if they got Reverend this in front of their name, Bishop that in front of their name, Sister Know-It-All, Brother Know-It-All. Ain't nobody done yet. Somebody say, I will not be half-baked. I don't trust any half-baked Christians. Stay in the oven. Don't stop. Continue to let God reprove you and change you. You're not in heaven yet. But it says, repent at the reproof of God, and the revelation of his word will bring revival. Now, in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 23, it says, turn you. Didn't say get an attitude. Anybody? Let's exchange that word, turn. Get an attitude about it when you get reproof. Did it say that? Switch church when you get reproof. Get a second opinion when you get reproof. Reproof. There's one thing you can do with reproof. To use reproof towards your advantage. What is reproof? If we're going to say to when you're going to reprove someone or reprove someone, listen, it means to what? Chasten or correction? Rebuke. Wow. Everybody hates that word, rebuke. Ain't nobody trying to rebuke anybody tonight. But people don't like correction. People don't like to be here, hey, let's work on this over here. And people get outrageous. I mean, people get zapped. But there's one thing. Listen, if God is in the house, reproof will be in the house. And correction will be in the house. Anybody ever saw mothers that don't care about their kids? Their kids always run around. They'll cuss you out like that. Tear your house up. Tear your car up. Tear everything up. Why? Because somebody doesn't care. But when you get somebody that cares there, they got their stuff together. I mean, their kid's not going to be out all hours of the night. See people with kids out 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning running around 13, 14, 15 years old. Wear anything, say anything, do just about anything. Nobody knows when they ate, what they ate, how they ate. Well, that's not a bunch of compassion when you really think about it. But God's not what? God's not an irresponsible parent. He's not an irresponsible father. He knows where his sheep are, what his children are doing. When he says, come into the house, they come into the house. He said, listen, I don't even got to yell at my sheep. He said, my sheep hear my voice. He speaks it and there they are. Well, it's the same way with church folk. God don't have a dysfunctional family. When you see these kids that are way out there beyond reproof, they ain't Jesus' kids. God's kids know his voice. Now, people like to say this, now we are a multicultural body, but there's something about some black folks. I'm going to tell you about my mother. My mother didn't have to tell me off. She didn't have to knock me upside my head. When I was there, all she had to do is look that way. Only a look will get you together. Well, the closer you get with God, the more you realize that he doesn't have to send seven prophets to you to tell you to get your stuff together. Some people need the building to break wide open to tell them they got an attitude. Well, you shouldn't have to have lightning to fall to tell you got a nasty attitude. The closer you are to God, he can just whisper something to you and reveal something to you. Actually, how does he correct you? By showing you himself. And when you see who he is and you really see what you are, then you're going to want to change. If you want to be like Jesus, turn at reproof. Don't just keep taking reproof. Do something with it. There are a lot of people, I mean, you tell them stuff all the time. You could tell them all the time, yeah, you're right, Pastor. Well, just saying you're right doesn't do anything about it. I mean, it's like married couples get into little squawks and they, let's talk about this. Well, they didn't talk about it. You can talk about it all you want, but until somebody makes a change, that problem's still going to be there. You can talk all you want to, and you can hear rebuke. A prophet could come right in your face and read your mail and tell you off again and act just as crazy. God doesn't usually move in that way. You know, God's not out to embarrass people. That's ridiculous. It's not God's heart to embarrass. Now, people can embarrass themselves. Public rebellion, public rebuke. Now, when it gets on to that, it says, turn you at my reproof, and I will pour out my spirit upon you. That's the heart of God. God wants to pour out his spirit on you. He wants to do it. He wants to give you more. How he said, I will pour out of myself the spirit. Remember, we were talking about that on Sunday morning and Sunday night, that I will pour out of myself. Now, he's telling you, listen, he's saying it again here tonight. Listen, I will pour out upon you. I will fill you with the Holy Ghost. I'll give you more so that you can continually be filled, so that you can continually have an anointing that you always have. You know, when you get up to worship, there's always something fresh there, something different about you. Well, God will do that if you do what? What do I got to do to get anointed? What do I got to do to have more of an anointing? I got to listen to worship tapes all day long. No, that's nice. But it says one way that you can get filled with the Holy Ghost or have the Spirit of God poured out on you is what? Turn at rebuke. What? There's some people, boy, I'd love to get drunk in the Holy Ghost like that one. I'd love to go out in the Spirit of God. What is the problem? I let Benny Hinn lay hands on me. I let Rodney Howard Brown lay hands on me. I let that crazy Pastor Rod yell in my face. But I still don't get anything. So there's a one way to have the Holy Ghost pouring out on you is to turn at reproof. What? That means that before a great move of the Spirit, there's usually a word of correction first. And a lot of people think it's the other way around. They expect a move of the Spirit and then a big correction. No, God gets it corrected first, then he feels it. When you know that God's got a blessing out for you, that God's got a miracle out with you, he says, okay, let's clean some house. You got some stuff coming. How many of you ever anybody got blessed with a big screen TV up? Well, before you took your TV home, did you just trash the house? Did you just leave? No, when you knew you had something good coming on inside the house, you cleaned that thing up. It might not have been cleaned for 6 years, but when you got that big screen TV coming in, you vacuumed the floor, you fluffed the pillows, you got it all together. Well, it's the same way with God. Before God wants to bring something new in you, he corrects and he cleans up and he works it over. Hallelujah. That's why he's cleaning house around here. He's getting ready to fill it with his glory and with his presence. When God's on your case, he's opening it up. Don't be afraid of the rebuke of God. Say, thank God. Hallelujah. He chastens those he loves. Getting me ready. Set me up for a blessing. Set me up for a hookup. Somebody say, how can I get blessed? Somebody just to tell you what to get rid of. How can you get blessed? Get rid of your mess. But I'm just telling you, when it comes, receive it. Don't get mad about it. It's all the Holy Ghost. Use it. I mean, some of your worst enemies can be your biggest blessing. Yeah, some of your worst enemies, you know this about you, Pastor Ron, there's one thing, blah, blah, blah. I said, oh, Lord, well, I take it. Thank you. Go on with it. It can't do me no harm. Take it. Many people get in an argument with somebody. And you know, sometimes in those arguments, tempers arise up, and they say things they shouldn't want to say. Let me tell you what. Sometimes when those tempers are hot, let me tell you, some of the stuff is spoken. It's true. Look at the person beside you and say, you ain't got no wings. Saints think they got wings. You don't have no wings. You got some go in you. Everybody's got a button that when you push it, they're going to snap. I ain't met none of them that didn't do it. And the ones that crack me up is the ones that don't know they got a button. Why, that thing smashed all the time. They're always gone. I mean, you say the wrong word, they're ready to pop off. Everybody's got a button. We're all working on it. But it says that if you turn at the reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. And it says, I will make known my word unto you. There are many people that can't get a revelation of God. They can't understand the things of the spirit. The word of God goes forth. And they say, I understand a word that man was talking about. I didn't understand any of it. Why? Because you know what? If you turn at the reproof of God, he'll give you the spirit of revelation. So there are several things that will come when we learn to receive reproof. When we learn to see the reproof of God, several things. First of all, he promised to give you more of the Holy Ghost, give you more of the Spirit of God. Then right after that, guess what happens after he corrects you? He gives you a double portion anointing of revelation knowledge. And when you put revelation knowledge together along with the Spirit of the Holy Ghost, you're going to get revival. So that's why we say repentance. Repentance means to turn around. Turn at it. Do something with it. There's nothing worse than people getting good words and going in the same direction. They come to church. They're heading down the wrong road. The word of the Holy Ghost goes out, tells them all about themselves. Where's the situation out? Then they go right out of church. Oh, I shouted all Sunday. But go right down the same path they were on before they heard the word. Let the word turn you around. Let the word change it. I need a change. It says to return means to repent, or to turn means to withdraw yourself. Withdraw yourself, or to turn around, come back home. That's a good word. Come on back home. When you first got saved, I mean, you would do anything God told you to do. You were so excited about him. You loved him so much. God says, turn around. Come on back home. You way out there. There's some people that need to come back home again. And that's what that turn means. You'll hear the word of God going back, and you'll hear correction say, hey, you way out there, come on home. Come on home. Come on home. Make the U-turn. Repent and turn around to Jesus. Now, there's some people that just refuse to turn. Some people refuse to turn. Now, listen. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 5, it says, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall obtain unto wise counsels. This is something y'all need to watch out for right here. The fate of the fool. People hate to hear that word. People hate to hear the word. If you're not wise, you're foolish. If you're not filled with the wisdom of God, you're filled with the foolishness of your own understanding. Foolishness. And the fruit of pride is foolishness. When you look at the world and how things are going about living every day, thinking they got it safe, thinking they got it good, thinking they got it secure, they got it all together. I got my stock. I got my bonds. I've got my future. Everything's all set up. Things will never change. I've got it made. Foolishness. Foolishness. The wisdom is to know God and to trust God and to believe in God and to be obedient to the Holy Ghost. That's the wisdom of God. Now listen about foolishness. And foolishness, Proverbs chapter 1, 31 and 32 says this. This is the fate of the foolish. Says he will become filled with the fruit of his folly. The Bible says the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. May God never prosper our foolishness. People are destroyed spiritually, are destroyed in life. Why? Is because they've had foolishness prospered. What? Some people... foolishness. I need a man. Or I need a woman. I gotta get one. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Let the man that be loose not seek. No, I gotta have it. I need it. If I don't get it, I'm gonna be in trouble. I know what I need. I got to have this. Now I don't get this. Somebody say, foolishness. You better hear the word, and if it's in the word, it's good for you. I don't care what society says. I don't care what sister so-and-so said. You better stay in the word. That's where your safety and your security is. I don't care if they call you weird. You better believe God. He knows what's best for you. And there are a lot of people that are destroyed today. Ministries destroyed today. Why? Going off in foolishness. Foolishness. Destroyed finances. Going off buying houses. You know God didn't tell you to get it. Buying this old big car. God didn't tell you to do it. Oh, worthless, no good man. You just stuck up with it. Can't let go. Why? God didn't tell you. It's the foolishness. prosperity of fools will destroy them. What does prosperity mean? To prosper means to help someone along their journey. Is that he will cause your journey or your path to be successful. Well, if you're on the wrong path and you get prospered on the wrong path, there's a way which seems right unto men, but the end leads only to death. You can pray down a foolish path and speak authority and be successful in the foolish path. Well, the wages of sin, and sin is missing God's best for your life. The wages of sin is death. It's the Spirit of God that gives life only. And there are a lot of people that are trying to live spiritually in the flesh. You know, and that's how you get into all different forms of witchcraft and all kind of crazy stuff. Just as wrong. They have no inspiration in their heart. No inspiration whatsoever. I mean, people have a problem with me and different folk. Why? It's because we go by the inspiration of our heart. We live by our call. We live by our burden. Well, you should do this, Brother Rod. No, I'm going to follow my burden and follow the voice of God. It's all right with me. It might look like foolishness to you. No, you need to do this. It might look foolish to you. But in the long run, I'm going to obey God. When are you going to start to obey God? You better start now. You're not going to pay my bills. He is. You better obey the Holy Ghost. You better know what the Holy Ghost leads you to do. And I don't care if it looks like you're going to sink in doing it. Do it anyhow. Obey God. He took the children of Israel to the Red Sea. And they were there with the army behind them. It looked like they were done for. And here they are. He said, march on. They said, listen, they're behind us. What are we going to do? Look like a mess. You don't second guess God. You just obey. As soon as they put their foot in the water, it gathered up on top of itself and it opened up. That way that God's leading you might seem impossible. It might not seem like it's going to work out. Just obey the Holy Ghost. Somebody said, I'd rather die believing God than live trusting in myself. I know Jesus. I wouldn't even want to be stuck with myself. I love obeying the Holy Ghost. It's exciting. And you can do it too. He's never let me down yet. It's been a trip, but he has never let me down once. The Bible says, I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. And I want you to look at something and say, this is the worst than it could ever be. Can only get better. So it says that a fool will become filled with the fruit of his folly. What it means, you go down the wrong path and you see a little blessing. And then you get stuck to it. Filled with it. The prosperity of fools shall destroy them. May God never prosper our foolishness. But may he always speak to us. It's Romans chapter 1 verse 21. It says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. My God. Yeah, I tell you what, people don't like me saying this, but it's Wednesday night, it's Sunday night. You need to get up and go to church just to say thanks. Period. Period. Don't let me hear all that stuff. You know, there's always an excuse. There's always a reason. There was a bunch of reasons for Jesus not to hang on the cross. One of them was you. The other one was me. None of us were worthy of it. None of us deserved it, but he did it anyhow. Nothing worse when people don't show their gratitude. You don't change the rules of Scripture and then say you're grateful. There's some things there's just no excuse for. None. I don't even want to hear it. I mean, if it said it in the Word, no excuse. That settles it. I don't want to hear about your stuff. There's certain things that are just solid. There's certain things you just don't even touch, don't even tamper with it. Leave it alone. And there's certain things that you think God might take lightly. He don't take them lightly. Just because he's not yelling and screaming and hollering about it and you don't hear lightning fall from the sky doesn't mean that he's definitely pleased with your action. Sunday morning, you belong in church. And if it's Sunday night, it said you belong in church. It didn't say Sunday morning's the Lord's day. It said Sunday. It said the Sabbath day is the Lord's, period. I don't care if we're in here all day long. It's his. He can do with it what he please. He don't care whether you got to eat tea with your kids last week. That's not his concern. It's the Lord's day. It's the Lord's day. And people wonder why their kids are going rampant and running the streets and they don't have any control over their family. Why? Because they can't obey God. When they mess up that, everything else is going to mess up. Don't you dare take the Lord's day and give it to your family. You won't have one. You got to put the family first. No. In the beginning was God. In the beginning was God. Then he made the man. Then he made the woman. Then they had the kids. And when you flip it around the other way, it's going to get messed up. How do you get things messed up? You figure who was there first. He made the man first. Then he made the woman. Then he made the kids. And then many times people get it flipped up. The kids become God. And if it's not the kids, it's the wife. And I'm not a male chauvinist by any sense of the word. I don't believe in no male dictators. You don't march all over women. You'd have missed God. You're a devil waiting to manifest. He took woman out of his side, not out of his rear end. It's the truth. That means she's behind your side or not under your feet. She's not behind you. You're a unit together. He respects that person. But you need to show thanksgiving. They glorified him not as God. What do you mean you glorify him? I mean, he's God. And there are a lot of people that don't glorify God like he's God today. He's my best friend. Well, that's nice. He's my friend and he is my brother, but he's also God. I mean, Moses was tight with God, wasn't he? Moses and God were tight. When Moses went up to the mountain, he said, look, take off your shoes. Take off your shoes. Some of these saints today, you tell them they can't bring popcorn in the sanctuary. They're ready to knock your face off. He told Moses, take off your shoes. God will always be holy. And he's always due of reverence. I don't care how spiritual you get. He will always be God. And you must glorify him as God. There's got to be a final line and something that you never cross. Something that you never cross. You don't play games with. You might argue with your husband, argue with your wife, argue with your boss, argue with your kids. Don't you ever argue with God. God don't play those games. And if he don't say anything and correct you for it, that means you're gone. They were not thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. Vain. In their head. There are a lot of people that are just miss the spirit of the Holy Ghost, and they just think of stuff all the time. This is what I think is best on some little fairy tale. I'm just as wrong. Bible doesn't support me in anything that I'm doing. The Word of God doesn't talk about it, but I'm just going to do it anyhow. This sister over here is doing it. Don't speak that to me. Speak the Bible. They became vain in their imaginations. Where'd you get that? Where'd you get that? Don't become vain in your imagination. And their foolish heart was darkened. How does the foolish heart get darkened? They consider not God. One word to say here. Listen. Judgment day is coming. We will be judged on what we did with the goodness of God. Judgment day is coming, and we will be judged on what we did with the goodness of God. And of course, we want all things to be done out of love, out and through love. Therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me, say, listens. And God, that word, he says, whoever listens to God, but in that word, hearken doesn't just mean to listen, okay? It doesn't just mean just to listen to me, okay? When God says, hearkens unto me, it means to listen and obey. Okay? So don't think just coming to church and just hearing a word is hearkening unto God. You got to listen, hear it, and do it. That is listening. Obedience gives, that listens to it with a heart to obey it. Whosoever does that, he shall dwell safely and shall be quiet. Remember we talked about quiet? In quiet, in rest, and in quietness shall you have salvation. He shall be quiet from evil. And that word dwell, the promise of dwelling, and I looked up the word dwell, and you're not going to believe what the word dwell said. Rest. Shall rest in safety. Or that safety meaning salvation. Victory. Abundance. With God, what God said we could have. How many are ready to rest in safety? You hear the word and obey the word, God will hook you up. God will bless you. You'll be a new creature. You'll be a new creature in no time at all with a new income bracket. God can do it. Amen. He's not finished yet. That's why he's got us here, because he's ready to bless you. God wants you to be able to dwell in safety. Get into the flow of the Holy Ghost. But you're not going to be able to get into the flow of the Holy Ghost until you hear the word of the Spirit and receive correction from that word and turn in his reproof. Then you'll be filled with the Spirit, and then you'll be able to rest. We bless your holy
name. Bless you, Jesus. You've been listening to Pastor Rod Counselor. It is our prayer that this message has been a blessing to you. You can receive other inspirational teachings from Pastor Rod by contacting Rod Counselor Ministries at 1-800-298-4333. You can also join us at Nations Church in the Woodlands, Texas.